They are unanimous in their hate for me, and I welcome their hatred.
But I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land.
You are free to do as we tell you. You are free to do as we tell you.
They own you.
I was tired as hell, and I'm not gonna take this anymore.
From XPR, Expat Progressive Radio, it's time for the Bills Show. And now, here are the Bills.
And welcome to the Bills Show. Here we are again for show number 87. And
we've done 87 shows.
87 damn shows in the 2 years in which we've been on.
You know, it's funny because we started this just as a reaction to the, but just basically trying to help people make sense of the 2012 election.
Well, we were also just frustrated. We're just frustrated people living overseas who wanted to, you know, just
have to say things. Cannot stop. Must say things, you know?
Well, I think that that's right. And it's been so far a fun up and down watching the body politic in America. It is different than what I thought it was. I actually thought that a lot of this was new, but as I study history more and more and more.
And you do.
The stuff has happened over and over and
you
over.
You sit in your fortress of solitude.
Why is it that, you know, we don't, as human beings, why can't we learn from our past mistakes?
I don't know.
Anyway, listen, last week we had Randall Berger filling in for you.
Yes.
And Randy sends his regards.
Randall, thank you very much for helping. We really appreciate that.
Absolutely, because there are a few things that have been happening this week that we want to talk a little bit about. First of all, John McCain was on a local news show.
McCold.
Yes, McCold. Or as I like to call him, Mr. Burns. And Mr. Burns was basically saying that we really should intervene in some way in Ukraine. Because
we have been.
Today, Obama came out and just said this. He said this. Now, I agree with it, but I think there's a certain amount of hypocrisy in it. He sat there and said, we cannot sanction the idea of Putin's government interfering with the sovereign state. Okay. Wait a minute. I have a laugh track here. Here it is.
Wait,
yeah, there we go. There we go. It's. This is why the Russians hate us. Because I agree with what Obama says. We infringe on sovereign states
all the time.
Every Tuesday. Every Tuesday.
Look, first of all, let's be real. What's going on in the Ukraine, as well as what's happened in many other places, is that certain interests in the U.S. have been involved. My understanding is that there's been quite a few Americans involved in trying to whip up, shall we say, a revolution within Ukraine.
Are you saying that there are CIA people running around there trying to whip up a revolution?
No, I'm not saying that at all.
Putin is a bad guy. I'm not saying he isn't. Well, he's a really bad guy.
Okay. What I would say is that Putin is a thug dictator. Okay,
yeah.
I'll admit that in a New York heartbeat.
Good of you.
But what I will also say is that I actually believe that our foreign policy should be dictated to by what's truly in the interests of America, not just in the interest of American corporations, but what's truly in the American interest. And I don't see where, in any way, shape, or form, it makes any sense for the United States to be willing to go to war to keep Ukraine, to move Ukraine
in the orbit. I don't think that's going to happen.
Part of NATO.
Though. I think that it's saber rattling. Really.
Look at a fucking map, okay, and notice that the Ukraine is and has always been a traditional part of
Satellite
Russia.
Satellite of the Soviet Union.
Most certainly.
It's been part of the Soviet Union. What am I saying?
Most certainly the Crimea and the ports in the Crimea have always been Russian ports.
And look, I mean, we have intervened in every country practically in South America.
Well,
we have done so under CIA. We have intervened in Nicaragua. We have intervened in El Salvador.
We've killed democratic elected leader of Chile.
Yeah,
Salvador Allende on 9/11.
So it gets a little rich when America starts pointing fingers. You know,
well, the thing of it is, I believe that the Crimean part of Russia is, as of this particular show, already occupied now by Russian soldiers.
It is, yeah.
And I don't see where it is in the United States' foreign policy interests to try to counter that.
Well, that's one of
with
the
boots on the fields, or with even any kind of limited air options against Russia. Look, this is.
Well, that happens. It's over. We're not attacking Russia over the Ukraine. That's silly. But I mean, the thing is that that's what people like, you know,
McCold
wanted.
Think we should do.
I need a war. You know, I mean, he's not happy unless there's a war. But the thing is that one of the things is that Obama's been copying a little thing from the Republican hard right has come out on the news shows saying, well, you know, Reagan wouldn't, you know, if Reagan was in charge, this stuff wouldn't be happening. They don't respect us anymore.
Hold on just a second.
They don't respect us.
Well,
Jon Stewart did a little thing on his show that I managed to pull.
You mean a satirical comedian has done something that actually has impact to
That's
our
where I get my news
civil...
from. That's why I get my news from Jon Stewart.
Oh, okay.
Okay. This is Jon Stewart talking a little bit about the idealization of Reagan in foreign policy.
Okay, now wait a minute. Does he actually combat this fact that Reagan was a saint?
Yes.
Okay,
because he wasn't. We both lived through that, didn't
we? Let's hear this.
Yeah. Jon Stewart on The Daily Show.
And we all know which president would have the medicine for this Ukraine mess.
What he ought to do is ask himself, what would Reagan have done? Ronald Reagan would lead the free world.
He broke down the wall. He ended the Cold War.
No red lines. He simply acted.
Yes! I should know because my name is Oliver North. And when I worked for Ronald Reagan, I illegally sold weapons to Iran and then illegally took that money and illegally gave it to Nicaraguan death squads, or as we called it back then, simply acting. But point taken. Reagan wouldn't let these freedom-hating Russian Ukrainians push us around. When the Soviet Union invaded Afghanistan, Reagan simply acted.
When the Soviet Union invaded in 1979, a group of Afghan Muslims declared a holy war. They were known as the Mujahideen. Both the Carter and Reagan administrations gave the Mujahideen $3 billion in military aid to fight the Soviets.
Problem solved. Reagan style.
The most militant extremist faction of the Mujahideen turned into the Taliban.
Right. But we didn't have to fight those guys for at least 12 more years, and Reagan was simply gone by then. And when the freedom-loving Iraqis got into a war with Iran, Reagan simply acted, allowing Saudi Arabia to sell Saddam Hussein American-made weapons. But we didn't have to fight that guy for like 2 more years. And then again 12 years after that. The point is this. Reagan acted. No matter what the f*** was going to happen.
I love Jon Stewart. I love Jon Stewart. And it's absolute takedown, because you know something that the Republicans have done time and time and time and time and time again is get us involved in shit. Comes back to bite us in the ass. And then people like McCain and Bill Kristol and the entire group.
Oh, look, Bill Kristol.
Why do we listen to them anymore? Why are they allowed to have a viewpoint?
They should not be able, you know.
They should be locked in a cell forever. I swear to God.
I saw some stuff on Twitter as Dick Cheney made some comments recently. And
Dick.
I think we need to talk about him still.
We're going to talk about Dick.
Okay, but the thing of it is, when people like John McCain go out and say stuff like this, we're getting to the point where I hope that Rachel Maddow was correct in her recent assessment. She was talking about some little Arizona kerfuffle over
gay
religious
rights.
Freedom,
yeah, religious
or something.
Freedom,
you know?
Or something.
And she noted how the reaction to this, along with this exact same kind of law in about 7 or 8 other hard right Republican Tea Party type states, that they've all been held back on. And where we're to the point in American society where what we've done is we've let these bullies cow us all into talking about stuff that's been nothing but a distraction, nothing but a way to create issues to be used as a wedge political issue. And now we're to a point where we've got to stop it.
What
so
I can't
to me
understand,
is
Bill, is
John McCain, shut the fuck up.
But the American political system is the only political system where there just appears to be absolutely no penalty for being fucking wrong. I'm not talking about disagreeing him politically. I'm saying that these people were continuously, totally, and completely wrong about foreign policy.
Well, that's your opinion.
No, it's not opinion. It's not fucking opinion. We drained our treasury. We busted. Our economy is in the shitter. It drove right into a fucking dumpster that only giving away money to banks was enough to recover it. They destroyed the country. And yet, we still have these clowns, these four-star clowns like McCain and Crystal, getting time on national television. It makes me crazy, Bill.
Look,
it makes me crazy.
I absolutely understand. I would say to John McCain, fuck you.
That was bullshit.
Thank you. John, you've got the bullshit button there.
Well, the key thing is, I don't think McCain gets a vote. I really don't want to see us in the Ukraine. The Republicans applauded when Dick Cheney and George Bush started spying on everybody because they were protecting us. But since the black guy has been in office, he has not hesitated to kick ass and use America's military power anywhere in the world that he has wanted to protect.
I don't agree with Obama on a lot of the things he's done, but I'll tell you one thing. He's smart. And George Bush was dumb. Dick Cheney's dumb. I mean, listen.
But Bill,
continually. Now, let me just.
This is. I disagree. I think Dick Cheney was very, very smart.
If you want to wage a war against terrorism in the current economic environment, the idea of going after these people one at a time and surgically is probably the most appealing of the two things, other than, you know, going into another war, which is going to drain your treasury. I'm not saying I like it. I'm not saying I approve of it. I'm just saying that it shows more inventive smarts than George Bush attacking the wrong fucking country. No one in 9/11 was even from Iraq.
Okay.
So, I mean,
listen, I don't want to defend the right, but I find myself in a position of wanting to defend the right. And it's not that I want to defend the right. It's when I want to defend the right against being called dumb. I think the right wing...
Foreign policy, they prove time and time again that they are dumb.
Well, but our foreign policy is driven by a neoliberal agenda. It has been ever since Ronald Reagan, of all people.
That's right.
Maggie Thatcher, Ronald Reagan, 1980 on, this started. And it's not that it has been dumb. It has been about pushing a neoliberal free market ideology. Both sides of politics have committed these acts. And when we talk about the Ukraine,
I don't think there's you talk both sides of politics. I've always taken exception to that. Yes, it's happened on both sides of politics, but there is no absolute equivalence in that.
I'm not.
The Republicans do it because they are
I'm not saying that there's an equivalence, but I want you to understand that both sides of politics believe in these core factors of neoliberalism. Mm. They believe in the free market having complete reign and that we should deregulate
companies. I think there are a lot of Democrats that don't believe that the free market should have a complete reign.
Yeah, but
Nancy Pelosi being one of them.
I want to point out that there are a lot of people in the Democratic Party that have no interest to believe in the neoliberal ideology. But when you look at what Democrats like Bill Clinton, who's one of the, he's the big dog. He's one of the most important Democrats still in existence even right now, and his voice is listened to, period. His wife is probably going to run for president in 2016.
Oh, yeah.
Although I don't understand how we elect corrupt again in 2016. I'm kind of hopeful that America.
Are you saying that Hillary Clinton's corrupt?
I'm saying that.
Man, careful, big boy. you better have something to prove.
I'm fairly willing to stand that up, and I'll back that up with all the backup that you need.
You voted for Hillary. Why are you such a bitch to her now?
Because she was the best choice at the time. And I'll vote for whoever the best choice is at the time, even though they are bad. But voting for Obama is not something that I did this last time, and I don't.
Who did you vote for?
I voted for a different.
Do you remember his name?
Either the green guy or the guy from Utah. You didn't even
know his name. Good,
green lady.
Look,
she happened to have been a scientist who was very, very intelligent.
She's very smart, and you guys can have coffee together. But look,
stop. You've got to let me finish this point, though.
Oh, I do.
Very straightforward. Okay. You brought up John McCain and talking about Reagan, and you're claiming that Bush and Cheney were dumb. And I've said, no, they're not dumb, but they are pushing an ideology. Bill Clinton pushed an ideology when he went along and helped the Senate and the House actually push through a bill that removed the Glass-Steagall Act. I'm sorry, but you can draw a direct line between that.
You're talking about
that.
You're talking about
the 2007-2008
bill.
Financial
bill,
crisis.
Slow down, big guy. Come on back. I'm not talking about financial policy. I'm talking about foreign policy.
Okay.
I'm talking about getting involved in wars that we have absolutely no business getting wrong. And usually the Democrats did that. I mean, the Democrats did that in Vietnam. JFK. And Johnson getting us involved in Vietnam. But I think Democrats kind of learned after Vietnam that we don't do that. The Republicans didn't learn shit. Grenada. They are the war party. And it's like John McCain goes into an apoplexy if we're not in war with somebody.
My problem is right now that I think that the United States has become the war country.
Well, no, that's been true. That's true, because we're at the war all the time. This is one of the few times in which we're not at war, Bill.
But we're constantly in military actions all over the world. Anytime
maybe
we want
it's
to,
us.
Wherever. Yeah, it could be. Okay? I have shifted over the time we've done this show to realizing that politics doesn't matter nearly as much as ideology. Ideologies of the neoliberal variety are practiced by both the Democratic and the Republican wings on everything
not
that counts.
Not in equal measure.
On everything that counts.
Look, before we get past that, I do want to bring up one thing, and that is the fact that Republicans, I think we can agree, are kind of the war party. They like war a lot.
Obama seems to do a pretty good job at it.
They're not too great at looking after the people who go to war. I love these pricks.
Really?
Because, no shit. I mean, a little hypocrisy.
I've heard about this story.
This is Sean Hannity. Sean Hannity talking to...
Who?
The Big Dick.
The Big Dick.
Dick Cheney, that's right. Oh, Darth Vader.
So you're keeping on topic.
Yes, I'm keeping on topic. So here's Dick Cheney talking to Sean Hannity about Obama's foreign policy and food stamps.
Do you see the Gallup poll showing for the first time that more Americans think the president is not respected by other world leaders than believe he is? By percentage, 41% think he is respected. 53% do not think he's respected.
Right. I did see that. The other thing I know for a fact, too, Sean, keeping in touch with some of my old friends that I used to in the Middle East, they no longer have any confidence at all in American security guarantees. They're absolutely convinced that they can no longer trust the United States to keep its commitments. That includes Israelis and Saudis and a lot of others in that part of the world. They peddled this line that now we're going to pivot to Asia, but they've never justified it. And I think the whole thing is not driven by any change in world circumstances. It's driven by budget considerations. He'd much rather spend the money on food stamps than he would on a strong military or support for our troops.
So Dick Cheney...
But really, that is why they call him the Big Dick. I mean, come on.
He's a large cock.
Look, he's always been this
way.
There's
a guy, if you want to talk about foreign policy or get advice...
Yeah.
that's the guy I go to, yeah.
What I would say is that what you're hearing there is somebody who is speaking ideology rather than common sense.
Mm.
You know, if you talk about what American foreign policy should be, if you want to do what's the best for the Standard Oil.
Yeah, that's right.
Dick Cheney's your guy.
Or Halliburton. Dick Cheney's your guy. But if you...
Isn't Halliburton... But, today's Standard Oil. Remember, we broke up Standard Oil because they were rapacious. They were morally repugnant. They were ethically ignorant.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Absolutely. But, you know, I tell you, what Dick fails to understand is that when we have that choice between actually giving aid food stamps out and strengthening our military,
that's one and the same.
You got to understand something. In 2013, this is from the Huffington Post. In 2013, military families redeemed more than $100 million in food stamps on military bases in 2013. Now, there's two things I really want to talk about here on this one. One, why are you against food stamps when you know that a military families really need food stamps to eat well?
Well, wait a minute. Are you telling me
why do military families have to go on fucking food stamps anyway?
Well, that's what I was going to say. You're telling me we don't pay military families enough to eat? Obviously not.
But that's what I find amazing is these guys, these assholes, wave the flag. You go to their convention and it's like, and you could just choke on the American flag. And when push comes down the shove, they get you in wars. They take you to the war. When you get wounded, they don't look after you. And when we have a president who finally has the good sense not to get involved in spurious wars, they sit there and criticize him.
Well,
because basically, if you want foreign policy advice, I go to fucking Dick Cheney.
There's somebody that you were talking earlier about the Republicans and how they're pushing through a law. They're holding back a veterans benefits bill at the moment, from my understanding.
Oh, God, yes.
And we're
going to talk about that.
Well, I'll tell you what, this is kind of something that ties in with Dick Cheney,
yeah,
though, and what he said here.
Mm.
Some stuff kind of hit Twitter about this.
Yeah.
I really loved one of these. I've saved it here. I'll read it out. If you're pro-war, but you want to cut military pay, veterans benefits, and their health care,
yeah,
you're the scum of the earth. Seriously.
Really?
Hey,
seriously.
Dick Cheney, you're the scum of the earth.
Oh,
fuck you.
They're continually the scum of the earth. And, of course, this happened recently this week with a bill that Bernie Sanders put up into the Senate that was voted down. And the Republicans tried to sabotage this bill that would give millions of dollars to veterans' families.
For what?
For life. I mean, this is talking about reorganizing and giving the veterans
in
of our
words,
last two stupid wars
that we're going to take
the
care
breaks
of them?
They need, and we're going to take care of them. Guess who voted this down? Republicans voted this down. And first they tried to kill the bill, and I love this irony. They tried to kill the bill by attaching sanctions to Iran that would cause another war so we could send more people over there and come back and get no benefits. And when that didn't work, they could not get the required amount of votes to pass it. And Sanders begged them and said, listen, let's put aside our political differences. Everyone knows that the veterans need, and they voted it down.
You know, John Stewart got involved in this over the thing with veterans. The backlog for benefits and proper the VA benefits.
Mm.
and how it's messed up because we don't have the people necessary to do the paperwork.
Right.
So, you know, this is a big deal. I think Dick Cheney is really, should just shut the fuck up.
Well, I think okay? he's the Antichrist. I think it's just a real Antichrist. And I basically, this would give $30 billion for expanding veterans' access to health care and education. And basically, Sanders begged with these people. But Senate Republican Senator Richard Burr introduced an amendment to the bill to increase sanctions against Iran.
Yep.
Onto a veterans bill. It has nothing to do with that, and merely put it on there so that it could either kill the bill, which they want to kill. Why would they want to kill a veterans bill, Bill? I don't get it.
Well, because they want to talk the talk without walking the walk.
They're assholes.
No, they want to get away with doing the talk without doing the walk. They're not really patriotic. It's a false patriot.
If you are a veteran,
see, this is why I
you're voting Republican, you're an idiot. Can I just say that? If you are voting Republican for these people and you are a veteran, you're a fucking idiot because these people hate you. Sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I criticize both sides of politics on this. We haven't been properly taking care of the veterans. And this patriotism is a false patriotism. It bothered me in the run-up to the 2008 election that Obama caved on this issue and started wearing an American flag pin because in order to be considered a politician that was acceptable to the widest base of people, you had to play this false patriotism game of waving the flag. Well, you can't fucking wave the flag and then treat the veterans like shit forever and still get to claim that patriotism. Either do the right thing by the veterans or shut the fuck up, you scum-sucking bastards.
Okay, that's what we think, baby. Listen, we're going to be right back with more on Firing Line and a debate that we are going to have under formal rules in which I don't interrupt him.
That part, that rule, we definitely want to back up. That's so hard.
We'll be right back on The Bill Show.
It's these bailouts that represent the abandonment of the capitalism.
Blowing the tops off mountains.
If you're out of a job, I guess you're a bum. You don't think that maybe it wasn't their fault. Maybe it was your fault, Orrin Hatch.
In healthcare, the lie that we should just allow the industry to run in a free market mode, the invisible hand of the market's going to take care of itself, nothing is farther from the truth.
This is Obama's my pet goat moment.
There's a Bush up for that.
Isn't this the end of democracy as we know it if 51 senators can pass something against the will of the majority 49?
The Best of the Left podcast. The best of the truly liberal media. Edited, organized, and mixed. Only at bestoftheleft.com.
Now it's time for Firing Line with the two bills.
To Firing Line, ladies and gentlemen, and we've decided to do Firing Line a different way. Because
counterpoint fashion.
Point, Jane, you ignorant slut. We're going to do point counterpoint fashion, which means that we are putting on our little timer here, and the rather large bell will go off.
Do I get to interrupt while you're talking?
No interruptions. I get to do 2 minutes on what I think about a certain issue, and then you get to do 2 minutes.
Okay.
And then we'll have a discussion that will only last 2 minutes. So that's 6 minutes.
I don't think there should be a time limit on the last.
I know. The last production, you know, really, we don't want to go on forever. Guys, are you bored back out there? Yeah, of course they are. So 3 minutes. 3 minutes on the last thing. We're going to cut this down to.
We'll do the 2 minute parts and then I won't agree.
7 minutes. You got thing. Okay, I got 2 minutes. And could you start me off?
Where, what button do I push?
So
the one green one?
The one who says start, oh. You idiot. Okay. And now, before I say start, I will say, voters collectively should share blame for the current political situation as they voted for politicians who implemented these policies. And my time starts now. Here's an idea, folks. Decisions are made by those who show up. I mean, we can talk a lot about the idea that we are collectively brainwashed and we don't know what we're doing. But the truth is that a lot of the people that actually do the things that we don't like, they get elected. And they get elected by a large plurality. And they get elected constantly. And we're not just talking about red states, folks. We're talking about all over the country. There is kind of a boredom, a sleep that seems to be going on sometimes in the American population. We'd rather sit down, watch Happy Days or some reruns on cable than actually get up off the sofa and do something. Well, that's slowly changing. But the point is what we do does make a difference. And we share the responsibility when we continue to elect people that do not represent our own interests. You know, a lot of the people that got elected that we don't like, who made the problems that we have, got elected again and again. George Bush won 2 terms, folks. 2 terms. Gilligan from Gilligan's Island was elected president twice. And a lot of the Republicans are reelected again and again and again by people whose interests they actively destroy. And most of those people are hypnotized by Fox, but also don't attempt to change their minds at all. Because changing their mind would mean changing their mindset. And changing their mindset is almost unthinkable. We've got to start taking responsibility for our own issues. And we liberals have to get together with everybody else and take responsibility for the politics that happens in our country. Okay, how's that for 2 minutes?
Look, that was very good.
You like that?
Did you notice I didn't interrupt?
You didn't say a thing.
2 minutes.
You didn't say I'm a bullshit artist or anything like that? I'm not. Okay,
here's 2 minutes. No. I'm not going to concede that point because you are a bullshit
artist. I'm not a bullshit artist. I talk from the heart. Okay, you have 2 minutes in which I will not interrupt you. You disagree that voters should collectively share blame for the current political situation, as they voted for the politicians who implemented these policies. Your time starts now.
Okay. Well, basically, I will at first tell you the points that you said that I agree with, because I do agree that voters and all Americans at this particular time especially should be voters if they're not, and should take responsibility towards helping to change our world, transition into the world that it's going to be. Because the one that we have now isn't working. And part of my problem with this is that to blame voters for the things that Bush and Cheney did and that Obama has done is not the real point. I don't think it's going to help a lot. I don't believe that trying to say that voters, it's their fault that these bad politicians did things that weren't in the people's interest, but basically are again based upon that neoliberal ideology that I keep bringing up. We're in a position where these things have been looked at very, very closely as far as the way that people react to things. Just real simply, if you look at the advertising industry, the public relations industry, they've used the best minds in psychology and sociology, and they've developed tactics to manipulate us to get us to buy their products. And they think of politics as just another product, and they think of their ideology as just another product. This boils down to the fact that I don't believe that you should be blaming the manipulated, but you should be blaming the manipulators. You seem to want to take and blame all of us for things that these bad political actors have done.
Okay, right. Okay, fantastic. Now we have 3 minutes in which we're just going to go at each other.
Yeah.
That's it. 3 minutes starting.
Explain why I'm wrong.
Explain why you're wrong? Very easy. As soon as I hit this button.
Push the button.
Okay. One of the problems that we have, I think, and this is something that I think that's sociological in our new age, and it goes along with what you were talking about when you talk about the advertising age, changing the zeitgeist to the me generation. Something's got to break people out of the idea that they do have to take responsibility for the actions, for their actions. And this is not only in politics, it's also in family. You know, as a professional, I see on a daily basis parents that are not taking responsibility for their children, children who don't take responsibility for their actions, people who don't take responsibility for what they do. It's almost the infantilism of the generation that we have now.
And so you're saying the kids are shallow?
I'm saying the parents are, a lot of the parents are. They don't see them, they're evil, but they've been conned into the idea that they don't have to take responsibility for things. And I think that that is that mindset, that complete change in mindset that we've had from the greatest generation, in quotes, to the generation we have now, has affected us politically. I don't think anybody really takes responsibility. It's too easy to sit there and go, well, they're all alike, they don't matter. Well, no, they're not all alike, and that's lazy thinking. All the politicians are not alike. There are people out there who are trying to do good and will represent your interests better than Mitch McConnell.
I think that there are a few politicians out there that are good guys, but I think that the game has become rigged. And
but we've allowed that to happen, Bill. I mean, people literally have allowed the democracy to be taken away from
Bill, us. Tell me the part where we all got to vote on, okay, we're going to follow a neoliberal philosophy, we're going to cost you your jobs, we're going to move the manufacturing out of the United States. Mm-hmm. You know, this is something that was cleverly sold to the American public by the conservative movement.
It wasn't cleverly sold by the American public. It was directly sold in 1968, and during that time in which Nixon started this drift to the absolute far right, there was a very clear choice of what kind of world we wanted to live in. And that choice was represented by the defeat of the old guard Democratic Party, represented in the last gasp by George McGovern. With Nixon winning in 68, we started that long march. And we have made active choice upon active choice upon active choice by electing people that we knew would carry out those things because they would get us more stuff. We've been paid off.
Okay.
We bought into this capitalistic...
Okay, look, I'm absolutely in agreement with you. We have bought into the consumer society. Mm-hmm. Okay? I understand that. It's an issue to me that you and I both watched a really great documentary called Century of the Self, it's basically the background of how our consumer society was created by corporations for the benefit of corporations, and how government has also bought into utilizing this consumerist philosophy to push ideologies. And it's therefore done, and this is where I come up with the concept of the manipulated and the manipulators. We've got a group of people who are using this even today. A, we found out that our brains don't quite work the way we thought they did. Their brains actually operate in two different modes, in a fast mode and in a slow mode. And there's some good documentaries out about this. Some professors are doing quite a bit of work on it. And it turns out that all of us think we're very rational in the way we make decisions. We're not. We are easily swayed on an emotional level. We're in a consumerist society, and I am not willing to blame the great unwashed masses who are being advertised to.
You keep going along and calling it blame. I don't call it blame. I call it responsibility.
No. Whenever we have this discussion, the reason we're having this debate right now is because you constantly want to blame everybody. That we all share collective blame. Those are the words that you've used.
Stop whining about the fact that you don't have, that you have a state that does not have proper medical care, when continually you've allowed yourself to make decisions based on absolutely no research at all.
But Bill, hold on a minute.
The idea.
No, stop.
I've gone back and listened to too many people sit there and talk about Obamacare And it's obvious they have not read a thing about it. They know nothing about it. They allow themselves to be lazy and look at one point of view represented by Sean Hannity at Fox.
Okay, stop. I see the point that you're coming from, and the question that I have for you is, how come you're blaming me for their ignorance?
I'm not blaming you.
Well, excuse me, you are too. You're making me part of this collective blame.
All I'm saying is that there are people in the United States who have conservative point of views that are informed. I'm not sure who, but give me one. I'm sure there is.
There are.
So. But the by and large of that vast conservative wasteland out there that are sitting there bitching about Obamacare don't understand it. Like, we were talking just the other week about the lady who was mentioned during the presidential, remember, the State of the Union address? The Congresswoman.
The response.
And she talked about this one person in friggin' Missouri or something like that. And it turned out that she had never even gone on the website to research what she was all pissed off about.
And in fact, she could have gotten very cheap insurance and she could have easily been covered.
Is she responsible? Yeah, she is. She's being an idiot.
Okay, Bill, look, that's fine.
So let's not infantilize our entire culture and saying, oh, that's all right, you're not responsible. Yes,
I'm not saying infantilize it. I'm saying is that if we want to fix the problem, let's go to the root of the problem.
I don't have a problem going after the root of the problem. I don't mind you going after these guys.
I'm saying there's a group of people on Wall Street who collectively screwed the American people, screwed mom and pops,
and the American people
did not vote to let them. A group of corrupt politicians on both sides of politics went ahead and did this.
How many times did George Bush get elected president? How many times did George Bush get elected president?
Look,
twice.
I understand.
Once I can understand, but twice, really?
But the thing of it is, you should have
been close. A piece of lawn furniture should have run against them and won.
First of all, George Bush, the first time, did not get elected to presidency of the United States of America.
Uh-huh.
Okay,
it shouldn't have been close.
But I don't care. I care. We had Democrats. We had Christopher Warren, one of the leading Democratic legal minds, and he got Al Gore to cave over what happened in Florida. The Supreme Court didn't have
any. The question is, why was this a matter of 300,000 votes?
The question is, why
would anyone look at George W. Bush with his record in Texas and his record economically and his record on health care and actually consider him a viable candidate for president of the United States?
Because they were advertised to by the very best minds that money could buy.
So we just can't resist the advertising gene.
No, we can't. We are an absolute consumerist society for what we do. You stop flying on airplanes.
Hmm?
You stop driving a car. You stop using your fucking air conditioner and your plasma fucking
TV. I'm using an airplane because it's the most efficient way to get from A to B.
It's destroying our atmosphere.
Well, yes, you're saying that airplanes are individually the only thing destroying our atmosphere?
No, I'm saying that airplanes are a tremendous cause for global warming. The fact that we travel by air. Well, but the point of it is...
I'm not flying in a plane because a commercial brainwashed me, Bill. Okay? There's a point in time in which there are the conned and the conner. Both are guilty. Okay? You can't have one without the other.
I'm willing to stop this debate, but I think that, you know, I'm tired of getting the collective blame thrown on people who they're, you know, if you look at how many people voted for Bush and how many people voted for Gore, there wasn't a very big difference here. There wasn't that 80 or 90% of the people voted for Bush. Mm. these elections were stolen by very small amounts of votes, and you're saying, well, it shouldn't have been that close. Yeah, but fuck you. You're blaming half the American population for what George Bush and Dick Cheney did. Fuck you. They're not complicit. They didn't vote for that. We're not getting any real democracy anymore. We do not have accountability among the elite that are running the world right now and running America right now. Those elite think that it's all right for you to pay for private insurance when we're paying double the amount that most other Western societies pay for health care. Most other countries get that absolutely as part of their taxes with no problem whatsoever for half the cost of what America is paying. I'm not for blaming the people that are the rubes here. I'm for blaming the people who are in the 1%. Politics has moved from a game of left and right to 99% against the 1%.
Well, let me throw this at you just one as a statistic that I got from the Huffington Post this week. It looks like that the Republicans are slightly ahead when it comes to seats they will earn in the midterm elections. Now, I am just mystified. How can the Republicans more or less completely doorstop the entire process of making laws and act as terrorists in the Congress, and still the American people going, yeah, you know what, we need more of those guys.
Well, I'll tell you
what. I'm mystified, man.
The election hasn't happened yet. I've seen some of those same polls, but you've just proven my point. You discussed how the Republicans are possibly ahead in polls, and you use the word because they're consumers. They're being good little consumers. Remember what George W. Bush said when 9/11 happened?
Yeah, go out and shop.
Go out and buy some. This is the consumer society being shoved down our throat. And no, what I'm trying to say to you,
being willingly partaken of. Okay, listen, that's we're going to call an end. You and I are not going to come to an agreement on this, but we should probably break from it and come back with a few fantastic tinfoil hats. What do you
That'll
think?
That'll work.
But before we do,
he always has to have the last word. Do you notice this?
Yeah, but you do,
he
too.
He constantly interrupts me. Then he always has to have the last word as well.
I got the timer out.
Well, this is the first time that we've done that.
See, do you like it? What about you guys? Do you like that?
Let us know.
Okay.
Your votes are going to decide whether we continue to use the timer.
Okay, last night, I was visited by Jesus Christ, like the Jesus Christ.
Sarah.
And he told me how he was really bummed by all these
people who use my name for intolerance and oppression.
And I was like, wow. And then he said, I want you
to spread my message to the people.
And I was like, me? No one's gonna listen to me. And he was like, yeah, that's the test.
Even if they think you're kidding, they'll hear it. And they'll make their own choice.
And I was like, you know, maybe there are other ways to go about it that might kind of make more sense. We could get a couple legal paths and we could just kind of riff, sit around the kitchen table. Let's work on this. And he was just staring at me like,
I'm Jesus fucking Christ.
And then I figured he'd leave, but he stayed. And we ended up watching like a whole NCIS marathon. It is a drama, but there's a lot of like witty banter and silly moments, and it's a fun show.
Hey, we just got back from the crime scene. It looks like the XY coordinates that we read off the Skylab couldn't possibly match up with the striations that we found on the other rocket fodder. We also found some lipstick on the doorknob. It doesn't match the petty officer, but it's pretty clear the staff sergeant has some idea.
And you know what is crazy is now that I know Jesus more, he is such a dinozo. So anyway, I'm sitting there, and I get a little heavy, and I'm like, Jesus, when does life begin?
At 40.
What?
And he was like,
but fertilized eggs aren't people. People are people.
And I was like, thank you.
But people who believe fertilized eggs are people too. And you have to love them. You're not better than them.
And I was like, you're right. Thanks, Jesus. Anyway, Did you know that it wasn't until the 1950s when One Nation Under God was added to the Pledge of Allegiance and In God We Trust was put on our money and in our courtrooms? It's a move in direct contradiction to the fathers of our country who insisted on separation of church and state. Using religion to dictate legislation is un-American, but it's happening. In many states, new laws have already been implemented that are making access to safe abortions less and less possible. Say a woman finds out that she's pregnant. If she chooses to have an abortion, she must first find a clinic that, with all these new laws and bills, are dwindling fast. Like in Texas, if Governor Rick Perry gets his way, it will go from having 42 women's health clinics to 5. Do you know how big Texas is? It's like the size of 27 New Hampshires. That's one woman's health clinic every 5.5 New Hampshires. A woman should not have to pack a lunch to get health care. And then, before she can get the procedure, she must now be subjected to a violating vaginal probe and forced to look at the ultrasound of the fetus. Only then can she continue with the procedure. Fun fact, scientists have known for over a decade that sperm cells have a sense of smell. That means that sperm is alive. And you know what that means? That means we've got to legislate that shit. We've got to protect the babies. We need a simple policy like, say, if you think you're going to masturbate into a gym sock or jerk off into the shower drain, you would then visit your doctor. He would take a long needle-shaped camera, basically like a long pointy GoPro, and that would go up, up, up your penis shaft and then down, down, down into the testicles. We need you to be awake during this procedure because we want you to see all the millions and millions and millions of babies that live inside your balls. And you would not believe the amount of men that don't feel like masturbating after that. It is truly inspiring. So if you want to know how to get involved, click LadyPartsJustice.com right here and sign up for all the updates on what's going down. And you can join me, Jesus, and other patriotic Americans in this fall's V to Shining V. It's a nationwide festival heading to every single state capital in America. I'll be going to Concord, New Hampshire.
How's this feel?
Oh, that's good, my right? Spot.
I know where your spot is. That's a good little Jewish girl.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's that theme again, the news and commentary that we listen to because we hate our own heads. It's time for our tinfoil hat awards, ladies and gentlemen. And
do you have any?
Well, we've been troweling through.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to make you listen to that, Mr. Bill.
Actually, Media Matters comes out with a thing called the Right Wing Rodeo on a bi-weekly kind of thing, and I've gotten to a point where I can access a few different sites to look for the worst in the right wing. My pick this week was, if you're looking for loony, look no further than the Fox. The Fox.
Wait a minute. But the Fox is the home of the loons.
Yeah, I know. They hire loons, man. It's a freak show, baby. So, listen, Martha McKellen at Fox News was talking a little bit about those scuzzy goddamn cigarette-smoking Europeans with their cappuccinos sitting there in Paris. How the Europeans have their society, but we have a society in America where people actually like working two or three jobs. You didn't know that? Don't you know that?
So in other words, okay, I've got to work a second job because I'm not
you're an American.
I'm not making enough money off my first one to feed my family.
No. That's not why you do it. You do it because you have that fierce spirit of work
American
ethic.
American exceptionalism.
And you're like fucking lazy Europeans and shit.
Yeah, so okay. I'm working at McDonald's.
For $7 an hour. And you get another job because you just think it's the best thing to do. And of course, that's That's Martha McKellen's take. Here she is on Fox News, you tinfoil hat, Martha.
I find the comparison to Europe one that many people might think is disturbing, Kirsten, because, you know, I mean, the Europeans have their way of life, but what's uniquely American is that people tend to want to work more, work harder, make as much as they can for their family. Some people work 2 and 3 jobs to make ends meet. And that is a value that has been considered for a long time to be something, you know, that has merit.
Well, you know, that really just makes all kinds of sense. Tinfoil hat, yeah, I would even...
I actually do it because I want to be more American. Not people like working 15 jobs so that they can make ends meet. You know who doesn't work 15 jobs to make ends meet? You don't, Martha. No. You get paid very well. For telling us how much poor people love, man. They just love the American idea of working 13, 14, 15, or 20 hours a day just so they can feed their families. I'm telling you, they do. Just like the red, white, and blue, Bill.
Look, I know there are a lot of Americans who have a very good work ethic, but Republican politicians, if we look at what they've got accomplished lately, don't seem to be on that list. I just can't, you know, I can't fathom the level of stupid sometimes.
It hurts you, doesn't it? It physically hurts you. It, like you stub your toe. It's just like, actually, now it's just turning into a dull ache all the time ever since you started doing this show. You have a tinfoil hat.
Look, I do, and
Tell us about it, Bill.
I'll come back to Mr. O'Reilly in just a moment. I want to make...
We always do.
While we're in this tinfoil hat segment, I just want to throw something in. It's a small thing. Seth Rogen went and testified for in front of Congress. All people, you know, the ultimate stoner actor.
Yeah.
Went and testified because something was close to his heart, and he spoke close to his heart. Mm. And he got quite upset, and I get this. He went and took his time to try to inform America's political class about Alzheimer's and the devastating effect it has on families when all of a sudden somebody who's been an integral and important part of your life is no longer there and doesn't know how to take care of themselves, doesn't know remember how to brush their teeth, doesn't know how to wipe their ass. You know, this is I'm serious.
I know guys in college exactly like that.
All
joking aside, you're absolutely right.
He had 2 senators out of 100 that stuck around and listened to
him. I know, it was shameful. It was just shameful.
He shamed them.
And he did. He got on Twitter and he was like, and one of the guys is a guy named Mark Kirk. You know who was one of the guys that was really hot on the idea of attaching the amendment to the veterans benefits bill to sanction Iran? You know who one of the guys were?
Kirk. Kirk was one of the Captain guys Kirk, who listened to him, or one of the guys who walked
out?
He was one of the guys that
he's been on the show before. And what Rogan did was his Kirk basically took him to his office because he's a big Hollywood star and took a picture with him and then didn't bother showing up for his speech. What if that's class, man? You are a dick.
Well, look,
and they keep getting elected, Bill. They keep getting elected.
Yeah, but quit blaming those of us who actually vote for somebody else besides them. You know, you're trying to say that we're all at fault. I'm saying that some people are very specifically at fault, and they should, you know, they should remember what happened to Mussolini in World War II.
What?
Well,
it's piano wire.
It wasn't piano wire, but he kind of got hung up by
his... Yeah, he did, but that's not going to happen.
Well,
because Americans don't get up and do anything. I mean, seriously, I mean, if you're in Ukraine and you're a politician, you live in fear. And you're in Egypt, you're a politician, and you live in fear. If you're a politician in America, you're pretty safe.
Well, American true, the people, police state is
American
pretty
much... American people are more than content to order a pizza and sit in front of a widescreen television.
Ha ha ha! Well, I'll tell you what.
Please send your hate mail to the Bill Show on XPR@gmail.com. Go ahead. Really, seriously. Go ahead. You want a piece of me? Come on.
You know.
Now, come on. You have a tinfoil hat.
He was able to stop me from even interrupting him with that one. I was slack-jawed, and I couldn't defend you slackers who want to sit home and drink beer and watch Quack Dynasty or whatever Quack the hell Dynasty. That is. You know, those guys that are faking it and winding these people up. You know, I couldn't get over that when Jon Stewart showed a picture of them. Young Republican guys.
Yeah, and Tommy Bahama. I wish it was actually Bill Maher who did it.
Oh, okay.
And we had it on the last show, which was
Bill.
Yeah. Bill Maher did it. Said basically this whole kind of Duck Dynasty idea of them guys being really old country, complete bullshit. They're playing a part. You know, they're a bunch of yuppies. And, you know, what are you going to do? Now, you have I understand it's Bill O'Reilly.
It is, and I think...
I love the classics,
you,
Bill.
You need to play the clip because people aren't going to believe he fucking said this.
Oh, well, Bill O'Reilly, ladies and gentlemen... We're talking sirloin top prime asset. Here it is.
There's got to be some downside to having a woman president, right? Something that may not fit with that office, correct?
I'm going to say no, Bill.
So there's no downside to having a woman.
Just because you're female, that it would something.
There's got to be a downside for a woman. Do you know one?
You know, I'm having a tough time with this one too, Bill. I think that depends on the individual. Of course, there's a downside to certain individual women. You know,
but
just
in general,
like
you both don't see any gender deficiency to lead
men.
The free world.
Well, isn't that just peachy keen? So Bill O'Reilly says that
there's going to be a problem with it.
There's
going to be a problem with it.
Deficiency.
Yeah.
A gender deficiency that a woman has to be able to run the greatest country in the free world.
Well, Queen Victoria, Golda Meir, Indira Gandhi, I don't know,
Margaret
I'm thinking.
Margaret
Thatcher was a guy. No, I'm telling you, man, it was the only female impersonator actually elected or elected to world leadership was Margaret Thatcher.
Well,
her real name was Bubba. I'm telling you, she was a guy.
the thing of it is, Bill O'Reilly is on the air in 2014 in supposedly the Fair and Balanced Network.
I know. And you hear the response of the women was kind of like, you know, and they're all in the Fox payroll, so they can't, you know, insult the big guy. But, you know, you hear them going, well, not really, Bill, because that's kind of dickish, isn't it?
but
they can't say that, you know.
Can I say that, you know, this same issue came out about the recent thing with the Arizona gay law, where the
religion,
because what I really liked was Jon Stewart's take on it.
Mm.
So your problem is that it's morally repugnant, right? you know, and that's what I think about this Bill O'Reilly thing here. That, you know. Bill, you saying that because a woman doesn't have a penis, she's not tough enough to be the president of the United States. Isn't that a little bit like morally repugnant, you dickhead?
But do you think he's just saying it to get a rise out of the girls?
I think so.
he was just being a dick, you know, which is a hobby of his.
He does have that as a hobby, which is why I wanted to nominate him for my tin hat this week.
And you did, and it was a fantastic tin hat. Now, listen, you mentioned something that I really wanted to talk about briefly before we go, and that was the Arizona thing.
Look, like
the right wing went crazy.
The right wing did go crazy, but
you have some stuff on that.
Stewart was really quite good on it because he said over and over and over again, so. Your reason for opposing this is because it was morally repugnant. And Republican after Republican after Republican, not one Republican would admit that it was morally repugnant.
Well, tell me a little bit about what went on in Looneyville when they decided basically that Arizona could not have a discriminatory law in its books that said that people didn't have to serve gays at their restaurant, or they could discriminate against them.
If you were a bakery and somebody asked you to do a wedding cake,
yeah,
and it was for a gay wedding, then yeah, if they were of a Southern Baptist religious tent, they could say, well, I don't believe in your gay lifestyle, so I'm not going to make a cake for you. I don't want your money.
Yeah.
I've noticed how many business people are really like that. They don't want people's money because of their religion or their sexual orientation or whatever.
Here are just some of the tweets that were floated after Jan Brewer decided and agreed with their business community, by the way. It's like, why would you offend people who want to spend money in your state? CNN, this is from John Nolte. John Nolte from North Carolina says, CNN led a full court media press to take away the rights of Christians. This is just the beginning, using tolerance as a weapon against us. Wake up!
Well, actually, there was somebody that wasn't just a tweeter that made that particular thing. I don't know if you've ever heard of Tucker Carlson.
Oh, the Tucker bag.
He used to be on Crossfire with Paul Begala.
Tucker.
Remember, Jon Stewart went on that. And
called him a douche. Because
to
he
his
is.
Face.
He
is. Well, let me tell you what he said here. He said that the anti-gay bill promotes tolerance.
1984, dudes. 1984.
He argued that it's fascism to require individuals and business owners to provide equal service to gay people. If you try to force me to bake a cake for your gay wedding, that's fascism.
That is not the official definition,
Carlton,
of fascism.
Carlton, can we get... There's this thing called a dictionary. And it has things like definitions for words. Could you please go up and look up fascism?
I understand what Michelle Bachmann said was truly... if you're going to go for crazy, this is it. Michelle Bachmann... And I'm going to read behind you, okay?
Okay, go ahead.
Michelle Bachmann said Brewer eviscerated free speech. What was funny was that Michelle Bachmann was doing her level best to sound balanced and reasonable in her interview with CNN's Wolf Blitzer on the topic. Just while we need to observe tolerance for the gay and lesbian community, we need to have tolerance for the community of people who sincerely hate them. No, I'm sorry, who sincerely held religious belief, she said. But just to be clear, Bachmann did not think Brewer should veto the bigoted bill and did not think that discriminating against gays means intolerance.
Oh, in fact, it's just the opposite, Bachmann patiently explained to Wolf Blitzer. This is a decided level of intolerance. It's effectively eviscerating the rights of freedom of speech, expression, and religious expression for the people of Arizona, and it sets a terrible precedent.
If you put
a terrible precedent,
guys, look at this. All right, let's take out the word gay and put the word black. Okay,
wait a minute.
That's who these people are.
This would be acceptable in Arizona if you took out the word gay and made it Mexican.
That's right. That's
okay,
right.
Because it's all right in Arizona to pull people over, and if they're of Mexican-looking descent at all, that they have to produce their passports on the spot. They have to produce a driver's license. They have to produce identification, or they can deport them.
Yeah. Oh, Arizona is just a fruitcake place. It's becoming the fruitcake capital of America.
While we're talking about it, did you hear Rachel Maddow's take on this?
Yes, I did. I heard some of the show. Tell me a little bit about it.
Well, basically, Rachel thinks that this being vetoed along with it basically grinding to a halt in 7 or 8 other states that are Republican tent might be the end of this issue and this thing of the Republican religious right getting to make these class dividing statements that are basically just bullshit.
Well, do you know who I think that had a great big effect on Jan Brewer at this time? With the business interests. And who was pushing the business interests? Ladies and gentlemen, may I give you Mr. Sulu from the Starship Enterprise. in his interview with CNN. George Takei, as you know, is a bit of a hero. I think he's absolutely fantastic. He's used his celebrity to become a civil rights activist for gay and LGBT rights. And this is his interview this week on what they were doing to pressure Jan
Brewer. Let's hear Mr. Takei.
Let's have a listen.
We can have the state that we love, the state where we spend a lot of money. We own property there, and we spend a lot of vacation time there up in the White Mountains. A beautiful, the largest.
I think that's a really important point, right? Because they are worried about losing the tourism market, losing the taxes paid by landowners such as yourself in the state. Do you think that the business owners that are responding to this are part of the key to this problem?
Absolutely. The health of the economy is what politicians are supposed to protect, not this phony thing called religious freedom.
I would like to respond to Mr. Takei's religious point of view thing there that he was talking about. First of all, he's supposed to be a liberal. He's out there talking about business interests. That's sounds right. More like a damn Republican to me.
I love the fact that he's just saying, okay, you don't want to bake our cakes? How about baking none of our cakes? How about making sure that we make sure that your tourist destinations are known around the country as unfriendly to gays? You want to calculate how much you're going to lose?
In dollars.
And that's and cents. Why... That's why Jan Brewer did the right thing. Not because she is capable of doing the right thing. She did it because her business interest just basically nudged her and said, this is going to cost us millions upon millions of dollars.
Look, it's a good point. I think that I hope that Rachel is right and that we cease giving in to these bullies over their tactics of religious intolerance and this intolerance and that intolerance. Many people point out over and over and over again, and Rachel's been one of them, we did not add In God We Trust to our money until the 50s. We didn't add...
It's a secular state.
We didn't have...
Read John Adams, for God's sake. That's what I really have a problem with, and it gets back to what we were talking about earlier. These people don't fucking read. They don't fucking read. Read a fucking book before you open up your fucking mouth, because you don't know shit.
To come back to our earlier...
Jesus Christ.
To come back to our earlier
debate.
They're
morons.
You're blaming these morons. These 20% of the people that still voted for George Bush, even after they figured out what he was about, you're blaming the 80% for these 20% being stupid.
No, I'm not. Blaming them. I'm blaming them. Hey, someone's electing these guys. I don't want to get into it. Look, you know, in your heart, you know I'm right.
Oh, you know, we're going to... I'm glad that he pulled the bullshit back on himself there because he knew he was talking shit. Okay, look,
okay, well,
folks, thank you very much.
We're
out
of
time.
But listen, I got to say something. We have instituted a new thing over here at The Bill Show. If you want to get in touch with us over at The Bill Show and talk about our new firing line, just get us at The Bill Show on XBR@gmail.com. And please go to www.expatprogressive.podbean.com, where you will find a PayPal donate button that will allow you to throw a few dollars into the kitty if you like our show and, you know, we're informative or you pass the time exercising or you like it. How about buying us a cappuccino? Yeah, $2 or $3.
Just because we're stupid.
Just for fun, just to pay for stuff. If you can, you know. We're not, you know, it's a non-profit organization, trust me. Any money that you give us will go straight back into getting some of the things that we use to produce the show. Want to thank you all for tuning in. You can get us on Facebook, The Bill Show on XPR. And until next time, Bill.
See you later, folks.
See you later, guys.